Olambi sehr CFO, then Sigama is here, is acting DDG. Then McKay is here, the DDG for Immigration Services. McKay is here. He's here. Yeah, because he's actually reviewing your passport. Okay, and then Tosi is here, and then Tosi or Choshi? Chuse. I did not excel in phonetics at school, so you must pardon me. And I'm a slow learner in any way. And then, did I miss anybody at the back? Not our usual visitors from local. Those that are coming from Gauteng and the rest, I've not missed anybody. Okay, and then of course this Honorable Nkomo is still not here. I think we'll request the AG to actually find out what is the status of her, and then whether she's improving is whatever. The secretary must communicate officially to her and just establish this. And then Mam Kenye, she's on her way. This is for late arrival. Yeah. And then Memnis, we don't know. Yes, sir.
No, in fact, Memnis phoned me and then said she submitted an apology. And because I asked her whether she had submitted a written apology.
Okay.
So that was her position. But Chairperson, if I can request that I leave a little early because I've got another meeting at the same time. Another committee.
Okay. You don't need to answer Honorable Mkhalipi. This Honorable Mkhalipi looks like it's operating automatically.
No, sorry, Chair, I wanted to know which committee, because there's a public enterprise that Minister Kikaba is in front. I thought he's going there to create
no,
this minister.
All of us, I think we know that Honorable Gumede belongs to intelligence and also party political funding ad hoc committee. So those things of public enterprises is... it's not part of us here. It's not part of us here. It's not part of us here. Thank you very much. Honorable Hussein, I saw your limb going up.
Chair, I just wanted to ask you, to beg your indulgence, that I might also have to leave early. I just have another engagement, so if I slip out, please excuse me if you don't mind. Thanks.
Thanks. I just hope that the quorum is not going to be collapsed for us to deal with the minutes. Yes. Yes. Shouldn't I say that one is not accepted? Is there any good reason why we should accept it for the deputy minister? The minister we know, I think, is appearing in the Public Enterprises Committee. Women. Okay. No, it's fine. Sometimes you must address men as well, so that she's not seen discriminating. Okay, thanks. I think it's the apology as well of Mamnis is should be recorded as communicated. Can we then afford the department an opportunity to address us?
Thanks, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members.
as you indicated, that we'll be dealing with the two quarters of the year. Chair, as we circulated the report, on the interest of time as well, we'll only deal with those targets which we have not achieved, and then I will go on what we'll be doing to achieve them before the year end, and to deal with those ones which we believe that we won't be able to achieve by year end because of what is the level of non-achievement, which we cannot rescue it with the period left. Chairperson, I want to deal with the issues of visions, supporting government priorities, DSA outcomes unknown. Then I'll start here, Chair, to say in quarter two is the July to September, and then October to December. Those are the two quarters which we are reporting on. On quarter two, we achieved 69% of the targets which were set for that quarter. And then in quarter three, we achieved 67% of the targets set, but we'll be coming to deal with what has not been achieved. But we wanted here to show that we did achieve 75% of the targets. And then in quarter two, there was a drop of 6% as against what we achieved in quarter one. And then in quarter three, the drop was 8% as against what we achieved in those quarters. So, Chair, this was a difficult year for us as a department. I think I must say that up front. You'll recall that the two quarters which were dealing with it is the one when we had the issue of stabilization at management level. There were unlikely events, and I was not there the most part of those two quarters. And what I've learned is that to explain this is that if in a freeway there is an accident on the other side, you find that the cars gets lower even on the side where there is no accident, because the drivers has got a tendency of looking at what has happened on that side and then slow the things. So that has caused instability in the department, whether the accident was not all of us, but the impact of that showed in the department. So, Chair, I'll go again now to the targets which we have not achieved. So what in this quarter, we are dealing with the issue of automating our citizenship and management amendment process. As we continue, remember now we've got a passport and the IDs which are automated. And then now we also dealt with the birth, marriage, and death. So we were also now dealing with the amendments, so that when you go to the office, was what we want to achieve here is that now Home Affairs offices must be fully automated, because currently we are working on both manual and automation, which causes problems, because now you can't manage staff properly, because now others deal with manual, whereas others are dealing with automation. So we really want now to finalize that process. So there was some delays which were there in terms of finalizing these processes. But as I'm saying, at the end, I'll be able to explain that what did we do to rescue the process for year end. So I'm going to skip the ones which we have achieved. Then there was a matter of full biometric system. What we're looking, you remember now we started to implement the biometrics at our ports of entry. But that system which we're using now, it is not integrated. We just take those fingerprints and then we keep them in a server. And then if there is a request now from police or whatever, they're able to source those fingerprints. But what we're talking about here we want now a full scope of the EMCS so that it must link with our NWIS, the one which we are using for asylum seekers and refugees. It must link with the NPR and others. So when you go out, we put your fingerprints, you must go and check whether, yes, as we are carrying this passport, you are a South African citizen, or not that now you are carrying our passport, that you are sitting on the asylum seeker, or you came in as an asylum seeker, but all of a sudden now you are already having our passport. So that's what we are dealing with here. So it's a complex process, so it was not achieved. Then the ones which have been achieved, as I said, I will leave it. The other one was the issue of the white paper, which should be submitted to the minister. But on this white paper, we have worked a lot on it. And really the issues here, as I'm saying, that was this issue of having this minister. Remember now, in that period alone, we had two ministers. Another minister for Klingon Kisa came on 31st March up to October, and then a minister also came in October, and also it was two ministers at the same. So issues of policy like that, they end up now having much time to deal with it. However, we will be explaining where we are now with that process. And then the other one, this one, Chair, was more a issue of technicality. And you will recall that we said we are dealing with the issue of the six land ports, the infrastructure in Beit Bridge, Lebombo, Kopfontein, Oshoek, Maseru Bridge, and Ficksburg, to upgrade their ports through a PPP. So the process which we were following here was the process of request for proposals. So we had to do the feasibility study, and then we're going to go straight to the proposal. But now Treasury said that this project is too big and too complicated. Let's start with the request for qualification. So then I had to move a step a little bit back. But we did submit a letter to Parliament to change that target, because in the strat plan it is RFP, and but now it is an RFQ. So we did submit where we have changed that, but I will give now where we are. So it's one of the targets which were not achieved.
I think you have just come from that was program one on the white paper.
Yes, I
think we have got too many white papers in the department. Can you just clarify which one is used?
No, this one is for the repositioning of Home Affairs as a department. Yes. That's what we're talking about. So I'll explain now that one of the six ports. Then the next one was the issue of the investigation of cases finalized within 60 days. So in quarter two, we're at 62% against the target of 66, but in the quarter three, we're at 83, so we're able to cover that. So it was just not completed at that time, and then a lot of them were completed in the following quarter. And then on the issue of threats and risk assessments, so in a quarter we target to do 20, because over a year we do 80, but in quarter two we overachieved by 27, and then by 7 out of 20, and then in the following quarter there were one less, but if you take the ones of the last quarter, they make us now to have just one shot, but overall we'll show that those ones will be achieved. Chair, the biggest issue was around this matter of of discipline, because we said we wanted 70% of reported cases submitted to the presiding officers. But there was a really issue of slowness on this matter of dealing with the disciplinary cases. We'll recall that one of the major issues around it, when we're dealing with the working hours, there was a lot of those cases, but during the settlement, which was done at that time, was to say, now all those disciplinary cases which were done must be reversed. And then when they were reversed, now they caused that problem. But again, now we still go back and look at it. It was at that time of stopping Home Affairs to work on Saturdays that had that impact to us.
Are you saying that this, you say 443, the 473 is for that quarter only?
Yes, it's for that quarter.
So yeah. The 429 for the third quarter is for that quarter only?
Yes, it's for that quarter only.
Hey, it looks like you need a directorate to deal with this.
Yeah, no, we've got a whole directorate. Home Affairs, these cases, remember, we'll report is about the real us paying much attention on these issues of corruption. Yeah. Then, Chair, on the smart card, in the quarter two, we did not achieve, and we'll recall that even this one is the one which was affected by the working hours. We'll recall that Home Affairs stopped working on Saturdays from the 16th of June. So from the 16th of June, and then that's when now there were no people who are now working on Saturdays. So that had an impact now on the numbers of course now we reduced the number of days. But we tried now in quarter three to push, but this one is one of the targets which had a major impact, because now what happened in quarter one and quarter two was too heavy, that now whether we recovered in quarter three, it could not make us to recover that, because the impact of not of reducing your 6 days to 5 days per week, and the Saturdays were one of the days which were popular than any other day of the week, just because people are working during the week, so it's easy for them to go to Home Affairs on a Saturday. So the impact of that was starting at that time. So even in that quarter three, which is what we dealt with it, there were these hoax messages which went to the people and say, your IDs are coming to an end by March. Then our offices were flogged. And then on the other side, we had the downside of it, but it also helped now to gain the numbers. But that target, I will come to it at the end to say overall it won't be. Actually, this is one just to show that we are really on this smart card. Even we are advertising it during soccer matches. We'll have that running so that people now can see that they must apply for a smart card. Then, Chair.
As long as it is cooling.
No, then it's just a person. We don't even know who that person is. Then, Chair, the other thing which we are dealing with is this matter of the strategy for discontinuation of the green barcoded ID. So at quarter one, we did what we're supposed to be doing, but now in quarter two, we're supposed to be submitting this thing for approval, but we had to go to the clusters, which now I will be able to explain that now that issue will be, though it was not achieved then, but when I deal with the targets going forward, it is something which we'll be able to achieve. And then now on the passports, we've got what we call the 90% of machine readable passport must be issued within 13 days. Sure, it's not that we did not achieve really on quarter two, but there was a miscalculation there, which now we have corrected. Once we corrected it, we are able now to achieve, because there are these passports which are applied online through the banks. So, and then people will apply before they complete the process, they hang up. But now the system was calculating as if that application was received, whereas it's not yet complete. So now the non-completion of that has got nothing to do with us. It's a client who maybe did not pay or whatever. And then now once we've done that correction, then we're able now to get that target correct. So we'll go back. When we do the year end, we'll be going back now to calculate those things properly. Then on immigration now, at the feasibility study, you'll recall that we have taken a decision now to build a refugee reception office next to refugee processing center, next to the borderline. And remember, we reported in another year that we've got the land. Yeah, so now what we are doing here now is to get a feasibility study approved in order for us now to be able to build that. So there was a lot of work which were done during those quarters, but not at what was the target. But we'll report when I report overall that target going forward will be achieved, even that one. And then, yeah, it was the law enforcement. Chair, this year, it was the first day that we brought this target, that with the inspectorate, whatever the number we have, as we always say, that we have not a lot of numbers of people, but we are planning to do that. We'll do those 100. So now in quarter two, we did 49, whereas our target was 25. And then now in the second, third quarter, we did less. As we said, there's tables of the responsibility. Overall, that target is achieved. But it was just that in the quarter two, we did more. And then in quarter three, then it was less. But at the end, we'll be able to achieve our 100 target. This is about PMA. PMA. We had now, whilst we're waiting for the processes at the NCOP, we are working now in terms of having a roadmap of how we're going to be taking that process once it is approved going forward. So at the time that the bill now is passed, we already have these documents in place. So again, it was this issue enough that we do this, have to go to there, then there was those delays, but at the end, that target, I will explain that it will be achieved anyway. And then now again, this is a implementation of integrated border management strategy monitored by BMA, action plans of various organs of state. So what happened here is that we have to prepare each quarterly report. So that report was prepared, as you can see, but now there were delays in finalizing that. But now in the quarter three, the quarter report was submitted to the minister now for approval. Then in terms of the refugee, immigration and refugee bills, as we've got the white paper, and remember, white paper on international migration was approved in March. So now in this year, now by end of March, we have to submit now to the minister the immigration bill and the refugee bill. So in the quarter two, we did achieve that, the draft. And then now in quarter three, then again, now we're dealing now with the issues of minister looking at it and other, so it was not yet finalized, but we will inform now that that process will be finalized. The bills now we are ready with them. Actually, now we come to say we have said what we said. What are the targets which we believe that at the year end we won't be able to achieve, but we have tried what we have done to try and push them. It's the issue of the smart card, as I've said, that we had a target of 3 million cards but because of that effect, we're not able to achieve what were our targets. However, we still fight for making sure that we're putting these processes in place to see that we really will move with the smart card. So with that process, our deficit will still be there, but we're looking at something now a little bit better than what we're anticipating earlier, but I will come back to that, but what we think we'll be doing, achieving there. Then these ones, as Wagner was saying, as we are moving, which one we think now that we'll be able to achieve. So the issue of the discontinuation of the barcoded ID, our strategy we have done now, we have gone through the GNA cluster and the JPS, so that now on the 23rd we'll be having our last triple M, then now it will be approved. So that one now we believe that will be done. And then at the issue of 100 law enforcement operations, as I've said, we have moved with it, we'll be able to do it. And the bills, we finalized them yesterday as the ExCo will be submitting now to the minister for approval, so it will be done by end of March. And then now that approval feasibility study has already been now submitted to Treasury. And then as well as the request for qualification and the roadmap has already been approved by the minister. So what we are doing now, we really managed this thing, as I'm saying, last week, I mean even yesterday, with our ESCO to make sure that we are looking at this so that we don't slip down, we make sure that we'll achieve our targets, and we're already working with the National, with Auditor General in terms of our queries which were there last year, and the issue of the filling of the post. So, Chair, where we are, if you look at what we've achieved now, we're saying we've already secured 66%, of which 11, we're saying, percent won't be achieved, and then the 21 would be able now percent to push it and achieve. If we do that, so we're saying by year end, so we're looking at achieving now 89% of the targets. So targets which won't be achieved, which is that 3%, will be that EMCS piloted at one port of entry, and the 3 million smart card IDs won't be able to achieve that, and as well as the 70% of reported misconduct cases. So those three targets won't be able to achieve by end. Then what will give it to us now is that comparing 15-16, we're at 81%. Last year, we achieved 84%. So now for this year, we are really projecting 89% of our targets. So we really wanted to work hard to get 100%, but because of those circumstances, we are seeing now there are three targets which won't achieve at year end. But we will be recording an improvement than last year because of the rescue operations which we have put in place to ensure that the targets are achieved. So having done that, now I will give now to the CFO in terms of the budget.
Yeah, it's on the very few slides that you have, and then you have got the logo of Figland's party. I hope that it is not a terrible mistake. The ID.
Which one?
ID.
Oh, no, this is an identity document.
We just like that noise. Anyway, that part is dead. Okay, we proceed. But while you are sitting there, you must just think about that particular court ruling that relates to the 48-hour of holding some of these people, the bill that seeks to correct that in relation to these ones that you're speaking about now. The times that it's going to take to come here. And given the challenges that we're going to have this year in view of the elections next year, Proceed, CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. Chairperson, on this slide, slide 51, it's the expenditure as at the end of 31 December 2017. It's the end of quarter three. If we use a linear projection, we should have been spending at 75%. If you look at the bottom on the grand total, we're slightly over, 76.8%. But it's because we didn't accommodate the self-financing expenditure through in the expenditure at that point in time. So, Chair, if I can start at the top, if you look at the current budget, it's 8.4 billion. Expenditure is 5.9 billion. This is now at the end of December. We still have available 2.46 million at that point in time, 70.6% spent. On the earmarked funds, Chair, both of the Electoral Commission and the Represented Political Parties Fund, that money will be spent in full, so that was 79% spent at the end of December in accordance with the drawdowns requested by these entities. We also have earmarked funds for UMI Online, WIO funding, Chair, so spending there was at 60%. The vote, 68.0% overall. And then I said, Chair, there's also the self-financing. The self-financing is a mechanism provided by Treasury that allows us to use some of the revenue we collect to fund certain of our operations. So it's mostly used for cash in transit under counter-corruption. Property is to improve the look and feel of our offices. Then the other self-financing, which is just self-financing, is to pay the passports and identity documents at GPW. And then there's also IT. We also make an allocation to IT for self-financing. Chair, if I can then go to the next slide. The economic classification. The economic classification, if you look at it, goods and services are compensation of employees. If you look at a linear, we can apply a linear to compensation of employees fairly consistently. You'll see that we are on 74.3%, so we are keeping our compensation, we're spending our compensation budgets in accordance with what we have, so there's no overspending on compensation of employees, it's within the ceilings as well. There's an overspend on households, 262%, 12 million. Chair, that is for leave gratuities when people resign or resign. It's difficult to predict that, but and we fix this during the last quarter by doing journals from other underspendings to cover the households, to make sure that that is covered. The other buildings and fixed structures of our those are not concerning at this point in time, Chair. So the next one has been just a breakdown. The program, it gives you all the various entities, the responsibilities, management support services, the ministry, office accommodation, transversal information. So it just gives you a breakdown of the spend against that. So we monitor this spending at this level at EXCO and our triple M's as well. So this is the overall report. So if you allow me, then I'm also going to move to program two. That's citizen affairs. Also gives you an indication as to where we stand with what spending. And then this slide also includes program three, immigration services. And there again, we are on target, 70.6% if you look at it overall. That those figures balance back. Chair, the second last slide is the one about the provinces. Provinces in general are spending according to the linear projection. They are very close to the 75%. As you can see, it's at 74.3% spent. Some provinces are slightly over and others are slightly under, but I think this will be corrected in quarter four. So they will spend their full allocations, Chair. We also have the self-financing expenditure, Chair. Chair, you'll see there's one at the bottom there which says WIO self-financing, the 66 mil budget allocation. We will, we have made plans to spend that money as well. It's also linked to our ABIS systems where we have received additional funding from SAPS. So we're trying to spend that money first and we'll get to a self-financing in this quarter, the final quarter. We also have revenue. That's slide 57. We have collected 467 million rands in local revenue this financial year. We also we anticipate that we will make our full projection, the 1.02 billion. We'll collect that if we add the foreign revenue as well. So we're not too concerned about meeting our targets on revenue as well as on the expenditure, Chair. So from our side, Chair, we project that we'll spend our full allocation in accordance with our plans, but we will not have any unauthorized expenditure. That's your projections from our side, Chair, and that we'll collect what we projected. Chair, the last slide is just for information, and this is the, I already mentioned, the revenue, the AENE, the 27 AENE. We received 264 million rand from SAPS for the ADIS system. The delivery of the equipment is taking place as we speak. We should be able to spend at this point, Chair, the projections are 233 million of that 264 million. We should be able to spend that in the current financial year. There was also the budget reduction, the 100 mil, where Treasury took or declared unspent funds of 100 mil, and it was one of DG's interventions on his return, DG, Chair, that resulted in the reversal of that reduction, so we got that money back from National Treasury. We were also allocated through the AENE process for 1.07 billion rands as self-financing. I've given an indication as to how we are spending against that. Our rollovers for VoIP, voice over IP, and video conferencing of 12 million was also confirmed through the AENE process, Chair. That's the voice over IP and video conferencing. We have already spent that money in April last year, so that was done last year. Chair, this is the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have any closing remarks?
No, thanks. Chair, we'll be waiting for questions. Unless I will deal with yours at the time. Yeah.
All right. Honorable members, the department has spoken, and about CFO, that area of self-financing, you must just keep your hands tied there that we don't have some naughtiness happening. Make sure that all the people that are actually putting a hand in spending on those particular programs that of self-financing, that everything is done for the department and for the people of the country. Okay, that's a good one, number one. Number two, Sambuza, and then Figlan, and then Khalifi, and then Raputi. In that order.
Morning, everyone. Mine, you'll understand that they are consistent. DG, I wanted to see you. I don't see you. Yeah. I'm consistent in questioning Chair. My questions will be one thing until they've been implemented. First, litigation. Please. Let me specifically get the information. How far are you and what is happening, especially when coming to Fireblade? We must understand in full what is happening, what happened, and after the ruling, what is the way forward, and the cost as well, CFO.
Lukhono, re dira ka second and third quarter expenditure performances of the department.
It goes there
in terms of their target, the expenditure performance. That's what we're dealing with today.
I'm going there. Yeah, because it goes with expenditures, the cost and everything. And number two, vacant post. I'm worried, DJ, to find that there are vacant posts in the department. Very much worried. When I was still an official somewhere, I will not want to see any vacant post. Even if one person can die today, next week Monday must be advertised. Because that post is funded. One of the most priorities from the ruling party is to make sure that we deal with unemployment. And number two, we deal with corruption. So there's no excuse, DG. And with your soldiers listening, I will rather request and appeal that as from today, when you come back, let us see 0-0 when coming to the vacant post. I will really appreciate that. And also I wanted to know about your promotion policy, if you have one. And number two, before I took a leave, I attended some provincial general managers. I know that maybe it cannot be part of the report, but I must mention it. Why are most of your provincial managers are active? And that's why I'm saying that when I'm still an official somewhere, I will not have any vacant post for more than 3 months. How someone cannot act for a year, then it shows something. It shows something. I don't want to go far with that one. But I'm happy DG is back, and now he can run a marathon. You were still starting, DG. So now, yeah, you can run. So all acting posts, please fill them. All acting posts must be taken serious. Not only the provincial managers. Everywhere where there's an acting, where there's a space, we must make sure that that space is filled. If not, then it means that there's a problem in the department. And that's why I wanted even to understand the promotion policy, because it's very important to be consistent. If someone is acting, sometimes if he performs, then there's no need to do something, is to promote. And the last one, I know that even this one is indirect, but I'm concerned about consultants. I'm concerned about private securities in the Home Affairs. Very much concerned. I think it must be abolished. All those contracts must be reviewed, DG. It's another part of indirect corruption, whereby people don't know how to eat this money, then they will just create some other contract unnecessary. Get people, hire people, so people must have security. Because the same company that employed those people there, they don't have security. So get people, hire them permanently, work as security. Thank you. I will come back.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My question, the first question is around the Refugee Amendment Act regulations. I just want to check how far is that process? When can they be finalized? And then the other issue is around the findings. Do you have any findings on the by the research, I mean the research, research findings by the Counter Corruption and Security Services, and if they are there on the vulnerability to fraud, if they are there, what are the recommendations that are there on that? Then coming to this slide 43, in terms of spending, there's a provincial and local government underspending. What programs that are under that section, and then which ones did you were you not able to spend? Because if you spend 3.9%, it means you are far away from spending by the end of the financial year. And then, I mean, for 43%. And then you also have 3.9% on immigration affairs management. So it means still, what are the challenges there that made you not to reach that your target? Then, DG, I would like to know, what is the criteria of accrediting your offices in providing the smart cards? I think on this one, I need to be specific. You have Alfred Inzo District. Your Alfred Inzo starts from Bizana. It goes around Tabankulu, Mount Frere, and Mount Elif. And then you come to KZN, which is Kokstad. And then again, you come to your Alfred Inzo, which is Matatia. It goes as far as at the border of Jobabi, which is Mount Fletcher. Now, you will find a population of Matatia which will travel to Kokstad, and they find Kokstad is already flooding, and then they will go to Mount Elif. How much are they expected to pay to get a smart card? Is it fair? To me, it is not fair. That is why I wanted to know, what is your criteria? The other one is around slide 43. On slide 43, in your presentation, you are saying your annual target was the immigration and refugee bills approved by the Minister for submission to Cabinet. Yes. Now you are saying the drafting of the new bill has been completed and to be presented to the Minister by March. But towards the end of the of March now. So I want you to clarify, but has it been already, maybe I missed that point, to the Minister? Because the reason why I'm asking this chairperson is because, as we all know, that we have got a shorter year. So we won't be able to deal with this bill if it doesn't come earlier on. So that is our concern. So I don't think it is fair for this committee to start a work and then we leave. So I think, DG, you need to put us into, take us into confidence that this bill has to come during the first quarter of 2018-19, before this committee. Then you also said on slide 42, you are going to invite learners and government institutions to apply for smart ID cards on Saturdays at designated offices. I would like the department to also advise us as the portfolio committee members so that when we are dealing with our PCOs, we must also assist in the distribution of the information, of which our chairperson, I think he can also assist to ensure that all the members of parliament do have those offices, those designated offices that are going to provide this service, so that we fast track this this process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Honourable Figler, proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't know if you can see me, because I can't see you. Thank you very much, DG, for the presentation. And firstly, DG, I'm just concerned about the mobile units that every province was complaining about. There is no mention of it, if there is a target, a budget that is put aside for that. Because each and every province, when they do their presentation, they mention it. The other issue is the issue of the inspectorate. I see you've made some strides there. You've got 69 already, and your target was 100. Now, when do you think the target can be achieved with that 100? Because I know it's annually, but I would love to hear from the DG if there's any problem. Maybe it's budget, that you don't have enough money, or maybe you don't get the qualified people to do the job. So I would need more explanation on that one. The other issue, Chairperson, is just for information for us as a committee, the fireblade issue, because now I see the court on this issue, so we've lost the cases on both occasions. So I want to know how much was it spent for that cases. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, DG. Just to make a follow-up on the issue of mobile unit, then my colleague have just raised it. Unfortunately, we're not here when those provinces was here in front of this committee to say that almost all provinces are saying most of their cars are not working. So I want to combine that with the long queues that you are experiencing now in Home Affairs. And I didn't hear from your presentation how are you planning to cap, because it's an issue to our people about the long queues, because I would have thought that at least if our offices can't cater for many people, at least if we have mobile cars that can go outside and help to do the work of the department. But now there is this crisis. If I can hear from you, DG, what is your plan or the department's plan? Just to go to page 15, DG, on your presentation. I know that you said you are going to concentrate on what you have not achieved. But here in page 15, I think Honorable Kekare spoke about this vacancy rate. So here we are speaking of in a language that we don't even understand. If I may ask DG if you can speak numbers here, so we can have a clear understanding as a committee, how many people, what is the vacancy, instead of saying 10% below, 10% of what? And then on page 17, I mean, I have a page here in front of me. I don't know if it's a slide. I'm referring on my thing that I'm perusing here. If you can also stop interrupting, Chair, we can proceed. On page 17, DG, your annual target was 20. When you talk about ethical conduct and zero tolerance approach to crime, fraud, and corruption, and this is a very serious matter to me, But now, got the two targets. Out of 20 that you were targeting, only 5 of awareness. I think there's a crisis there. If we talk about corruption, if the department is very serious about corruption, if you can verify that, that goes to page 27, because I think it's a similar thing. Not page 27, page 22. In page 22, in quota 2, not achieved, 473 cases were submitted to the sheriff officer for consideration. But only 44 out of that 473. And then quota 3, 32 out of 429. I think you need to explain to us why is this. Because as I have explained to you, that I think we must hit hard when it comes to corruption, if all of us, we don't want this thing of corruption. And the DG, if I may also get a clarity here. On page 25, you speak about smart cards as one of your campaigns. I think if I can get a clarity, what is your target and what is your campaign in terms of your department? Regarding the campaign to target youth, because I heard somewhere that there is an outcry. In fact, there was a, it was on news that they were interviewing some youth saying that they are having some difficulties to get IDs from Department of Home Affairs. And I'm saying this, DG, because you also alluded to the fact that you have a campaign on smart card. Campaign on page 25. So now I want to combine this thing with the youth, because next day it's elections. So, and we want all our youth to go and participate in elections. Of course, the idea is not for elections, it's for many things, but I would like to hear from you what is your regarding that one. And if I check here, you are struggling to develop a full biometrics, not even a single port of entry in 2017, while we have some, I think we have 72 ports of entry. And if you can verify the committee, what are the consequences of that employee who's supposed to carry this task and achieve it? Because it paints a very bleak picture, a very bad picture of the department. If we fail to develop even on one port of entry in 2017. And I also realize that you have a fewer targets in 2017 but compared to 2016, but still you didn't achieve the targets. Also, did you take any actions to those employees who failed the department? And I don't know, DG, if I'm going to, even if you don't have an answer today, I think it's on the newspaper. I just come across about this issue, if you can clarify as well this committee. There's a story that says that there's a woman by the name of Usiwe Pinky Ngobe. She's 34 years old from Pinetown. She went to the Department of Labor in Pinetown to apply for, she was going to maternity leave. And then the Department of Labor told her that, no, according to Home Affairs records, you are no longer alive. And then she went to Home Affairs in October last year. And she went to Home Affairs. And indeed, the officials of Home Affairs in Pinetown did confirm that, according to our records, you are not alive. So it seems as if there was another Ngobe from another place. But now, this woman, her life is on standstill now. Even the paper is quoting your provincial manager, Cyril Mwabe, to say that, you know, he is aware of this thing. But the story says that this woman, everything is frozen now, even her bank account. So she can't even pay her own things because the bank said no until this thing is sorted. So I just want to get a clarity from you. How long does it take for the department to solve such cases? Because I'm sure this is not the only case that is also reported on the news. There are so many cases like this. The thing that I spoke about of long queues is getting worse in KZN, DG. It's getting worse in KZN, both in Durban Station and in Pinetown. I haven't come across with some complaints in commercial, but it's worse now. People arrive around 5 a.m. They are found that maybe there are number 170 on the queue already at 5 a.m. And you arrive at Home Affairs at 5 a.m., but you are not going to get any help. You have to be told that you must go back and come back on the following day. When you come back on the following day, it's the same story. So it does not get better. It's getting worse. So I would really like to hear from you, from the department, what strategies are you putting in place to keep such things? Because we got calls every day regarding this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Raputi.
Yeah, thank you very much, the GG and the CFO. Yeah, I just wanted to ask, but I'm going to elaborate more about this security personnel. The staff of Home Affairs, they go for vetting, and there is a lot of leakage of exam papers during exam time. I always ask myself, this leakage, is it not attributed to this not vetted security personnel that are waiting in Home Affairs? And we don't even get some, you know, we don't get some report who have leaked those exam papers, but they are always leaking out. That is one thing that I wanted to ask about, because our personnel, because Home Affairs, it falls under security. And if Home Affairs is falls under security cluster, so what are we saying with those who are working in Home Affairs who are not vetted? That is one thing that I wanted to ask. And on slide 22, this 70% of misconduct cases, yes, it's very high. What are those misconduct? Can DG just tell us it was because of this and this and this? Because I can see that 70%, it's very high, really. On the issue of the budget, the page 53, accommodation, you have actually spent 142% on accommodation. It is accommodation for what? And also in there, because I still remember, they said that some of the staff in the ministry, they must not stay in the hotels, especially those who are based here in Cape Town. They must also have some flats in this, in this camps, that in the villages. Are they utilizing that? Because we really want to hear that, because we can see that some of them, they stay in their hotels, very expensive hotels, and they are not utilizing those villages. It is not part of this, but I hear it, that there is a man, who is marrying foreign women at that price. It's not another way around. It is a South African citizen who is marrying
foreign women for a price so that those children, they can be able to have identity and also have SASSA privileges. I'm requesting that Home Affairs must really try to investigate a man who's having so many children. I thank you.
Thank you very much. We have taken the round. DG, from my side, I think I tried to raise. Let's just have a comment on those Zimbabwean children that have been trafficked. Just some comment, whether it's McKay that will speak to it. Then yesterday, I think on the radio SAFM, then there was somebody who was actually crying about what has been raised, the queues at the offices, and where certain people have to be turned home without receiving services. The state of our offices. Some offices, of course, everybody knows, they perform very well, they don't have queues, but other offices, then there are all sorts of things that are happening in those offices. Then there is another issue which if you could just explain the, of course it's very short, the court ruling that relates to us not to hold these foreign nationals for more than 48 hours, and how you expect that particular matter be fixed in our legislation in relation to your two new bills that that are coming. It is correct, I think, what Comrade Dambuz has raised. We may not be here from July until elections. We may not be here. But the one thing for sure is that the BRR reports that comes through September, October, maybe you may come back, but it may be a tight program only to deal with those. And we may not be able to. And then the two bills that you have spoken about by March, do they still have to go the marathon of the executive program? Or have they gone through that? You're sending it to the minister for it to be referred to parliament. What is actually the state, as Honorable Dambuz has requested? I think it is a little bit important. And then DG, I think there is one thing which is problematic, is that we do oversight, produce a report, make recommendations, but akubonakala majita akho bayilandzela report yethu. We went to Northern Cape, we cried about long distances in Northern Cape for people to travel to your offices, because Northern Cape, you don't even have public transport system. And then our offices are miles away from each other. Then we have said clearly there that Northern Cape needs to receive a number of mobile units. You can't deal with Northern Cape without mobile units. But now I'm surprised when I look at Northern Cape, the expenditure is 71%. It's underspending. We know it has got a problem of reaching its citizens. That means something is not being done there. And then we are from the Eastern Cape as well. We raise the same matter that you have got some small towns around what is that office next to Aliwal North? Yeah, just next to where we've got an office. The next town next to Alual North, Bergersdorp. We said Bergersdorp, there are about five little towns around, and they are far from Bergersdorp, but they've got no office of Home Affairs. And then we indicated in the recommendations that you need to have a mobile unit that visits these towns on specific known days. But it looks like there's nothing that's happening. And also we said there are big farmers there who employ a lot of people who only come to town month ending in the afternoon. And those people, when they come to town, they can't do anything else. They must just go to their shops, buy, and go back on top of the truck, and then they are gone home. We said also they must have a targeted visit on specific known days arranged with those farmers, those specific farmers who employ a lot of people. Because otherwise those people will never find themselves in Home Affairs offices. They stay there on the farms for ages. But it doesn't look like there are responses to our oversight recommendations, and we will just simply request that there is some sort of consciousness raised about some of the recommendations that we are making. Then CFO, if you can speak on the state of now of the finances in relation to the missions. Is it sorted out, cleared, no more problem? What is the story from missions and the treatment of those financials in the books? How are we dealing with that? Is it sorted out? Are we no more expecting any particular challenges from the Auditor General together with the Treasury? I think those are just the last issue, of course, is about provinces. Are your provinces having financial discipline? It doesn't matter whether a province is spending around 75% at the moment, but what is the quality of that spending of 75% that is in line with the projection in relation to service delivery? You may proceed. Figland has left one here. Yeah.
There is one question that I wanted to find out, because I'm concerned about the weekends. Is there any progress to open up on Saturdays? Because those Saturdays, they also help the youth who are still doing grade 12 to go and apply for IDs. I know in Wynberg, they open Saturday just for the youth and the collections of IDs. So just a clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, proceed.
No, thanks very much, Chair. No, we are hit with the questions. They help us, Chair. Chair, let me start with your questions. First, Chair, let's deal with the Zimbabwean issue. To say, you know, when these things happen, it is a pity that at the time we are putting laws for those, we get criticized. I'm not sure you still remember, Chair, the 2014 immigration regulations. The 2014 immigration regulations, which at that time were touted as if we were killing tourism about them. You remember that what we're saying is that for any parent who travels with a child must carry, then we're calling it an abridged birth certificate. I don't know, it is a birth certificate. But what is the difference in it? It must have the details of the parents. So that now with this child, we must know who is the father and the mother of this child. You remember that battle. We fought it alone. What happened now in the case of the Zimbabweans is exactly that the children were smuggled through. They didn't go to the port of entry. They gone through the port of entry and be registered, those children wouldn't have been in South Africa. Because we'd have asked, who is the parent of this child? We are going with them, but we are not a parent. So now they crossed the border. Then they were confiscated on the roadblock. And then police says, man, here are these kids. Who are the parents of these kids? They don't have documents and all that. Then they took us to court together with social development. Then there are people who are here in Cape Town claiming, well, no, we're the parents of these kids. But because of that law, we were able to say, no, how can we have your kids travel unaccompanied? You are in Cape Town, they cross the border without the document. The court ruled in our favor and said those kids must be brought back to Zimbabwe. Because the Zimbabwean government is understanding that our law says this, these kids travel without it, and then they're going to have the same facility like what we have in South Africa. They say, no, these kids belongs to Zimbabwe. Therefore, they must go back to Zimbabwe. They will keep them in their places of safety rather than that risk of giving them to somebody here. What if it is a trafficker? And the court, when he wanted those people to say, let's do a DNA test, some of them refused. Because they know they are not the parents. But what is the problem now, Chair, is that in our media, in fact, before that case, I was bashed in the media. People say, no, why are you separating kids from their parents? Mm-hmm. And then I said, what kind of a parent is that? Who's got a child who is just traveling unaccompanied? But yeah, when that case now was ruled in our favor, that's what we got, that the media couldn't come and say the laws which were implemented in 2014 are correct. And we're still going to face that challenge now on tourism again to say, because the president during the State of Nation address said, I want tourism to be looked at it as one of the areas. But Chair, that's what we're going to get. People are going to be saying, just drop this thing of birth certificate. Don't do this, don't do that. And when the consequences come, who are called in? When that thing was a problem, it was with Home Affairs. But when it was one, I saw social development talking nicely about it. So what I'm saying, that is the issue about the Zimbabwean children. So it means we must be supported to implement these laws. Chair, then the issue of the 48-hour bill, we are recommending for a committee bill. Not the normal thing. So that matter now is about to be finalized by the minister to submit to the parliament. And so our recommendation is that it must be done through the committee bill, because it will be quicker than from our side. So that's what we are doing around that. Okay, let me clarify the two bills which we are talking about. No, Chair, this bill is not coming to parliament by next year. No. By March, it must be approved by the minister for it to start the process, the one which you're talking about, executive process. We're targeting March 2019 to be approved by the cabinet for parliament. So in the following year, we'll still be dealing with it within the department. It's not for the committee. So committee are not going to get that bill in this to be finalized by the committee. What we'll say in the things that we'll be getting an approval of the cabinet in 2019 for submission to parliament. But you remember that process start with getting public and participation, cabinet look at it, go to state law advisor, go back to cabinet, and then cabinet said we are happy, it must go to parliament. So it's not going to be in the list of the bills to parliament in the 18-19. The only one we want is that committee bill. Okay, so I clarified that. Then, Chair, you know, this one of the report of the committee, Chair, we look at it, but what is going to be interesting, now on next week, we're coming here, Chair, with the APP. But what happens into it? There's already a reduction of 50 million rand. budget of Home Affairs is get reduced every year. And that's what we present to the committee. You know that one mobile truck, one, is R1 million. One. So if the budget of Home Affairs is reduced every year, how do we implement these recommendations? Because it's a budget issue. Staff, we've been coming to this committee again and say, I remember, Chair, this committee tried. Get the meeting with Treasury and all that to say there is a ceiling. I want to appoint more than what I have, but I want to appoint them with what? If now, Chair, which you have talked about now, how do we spend the money? Do I sit now and just simply say, hey, I want this, I appoint people, and thereafter I overspend? Then I'm going to have a problem. But I'm saying, Chair, next week I'm bringing the APP here. I mean, without funds, I'm not going to try to open even an additional one office from Home Affairs since, I don't know how many years, the last office which we opened as an additional. Because to open an office, in fact, at one point, Home Affairs, we thought that to open an office, as long as I've got an additional office in Public Works, I open it. The next thing, there's no staff to run it, there's no computers to be in it. That, no. When you open an office, cost it. The renter, the people, the systems, and all that. What do I do? Next year, my budget has been cut by 50 million. I'll be presenting next week and say, all the good services of last year, I'm cut with this. I'm going to be presenting, Chair, to say the salary increase, which is budgeted, which is not from Home Affairs, it's a public sector. If you take my salary of last year and you add a salary increase, you know what it does? The only one I can accommodate is 3%. So what does that mean now? I reduce on the vacancy which I have in order to accommodate that. But I'll be presenting next week to say that is the challenge which we have. So it means, you know, Chair, when we deal with this mobile, with a little, I'll tell you now, we've got these numbers. You know, we looked at it, which is going to respond to another question. Our offices in total are 415. That's 415. Out of that, 184 are already automated. Then we counted that there's 227 which are not having the system. Then we are saying to the guys, to put a mobile office next to one office, I need 227 million rand. Just one mobile per office, just to complete the 20, what I'm waiting for, which I'm going to come to the criteria. If I can just be given 227 million, I will buy mobile office for each office, I discontinue the green ID book. But I don't have it. I don't have it. So it's not that we are not taking them. We know the geography of South Africa. We know it. But if we can be given money to do it, we can be able to do it. But that's what we have. So like Burgersdorp, we know it. And then, as I'm saying, we'll be mapping out to say, when we discuss in detail the discontinuation of the green ID book, you know, kids don't want those green books. They don't want them. They want the smart card. But the problem is what. But yeah, next week we'll be responding more on that issue. Let me come now to Honorable Kekana's question. Chair, I think let's interpret it a bit. I didn't bring that ruling here. Honorable Kekana, what I read now, that ruling, if you have it, it says, at the end, it was not the interest of justice to deal with that matter at this stage. And we've read that part. At this stage. What does that mean, Chair? When we appealed the fire blade matter, we went to the Supreme Court of Appeal and also to Constitutional Court at the same time. what is the normal process of the court is that from the High Court, you go to FCA. From the FCA, you go to Constitutional Court. But because there were matters of constitutionality, we felt that let's go to both the FCA and the Constitutional Court. What the Constitutional Court decided, not the merits of the case. That ruling said, once you are in the SCA, start there, and then if you know there are whatever we come up with there, then we'll go back to the Constitutional Court. So that's what the ruling said. It said the Constitutional Court is saying this matter is not in the interest of justice at this stage. So if I interpret, not a legal thing, but just that part, it says to me, there is no ruling on the merits of the case. So that's where we are. But the issue, I think there was a question on that, we must bring the cost, that we'll do it at the, I didn't bring it, but it's something which we can. But I wanted just to give, what is the ruling of that? Chair, again, it is impossible. Come again? No, he did ask it. Yeah, there is a question there, we asked both. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Vacant post. No, Chair, let's be clear on that one. It is not possible that we'll have a zero vacant post in the department. It's a timing difference. There will always be people who resign. At Home Affairs per annum, you get about, 80 per month? There are 34 people who resign per month. So to fill a post, well, this is not, I can't just go and take people. You must advertise, you must give certain days to advertise, and thereafter you must fill. And that's why, on the question was asked by Honorable Mkhalipi, that's why DPSA said a department must not have vacant posts which are more than 10%. It's known that it will always be there, not unless you are lucky that there are no people resigning, but once they resign, you will have that situation. So it is not that we don't want to fill them, but let me put the point now in Home Affairs, why this, I think we reported to the committee in one of the quarterly meetings, or then, no, it happened when we're not coming to report. You remember when we strike with the issue of the working on Saturdays? Then at that point, we're having an issue that, as I think the Honorable Fiklan was saying, we're interested to open on Saturdays. Then when we're dealing with that discussions, we said, hey guys, let's freeze the filling of the post. Because if that negotiation is going to say pay overtime or an allowance or whatever, because we wrote to Treasury, they says, no, I'm not going to get a cent. So what did we do? We said now to the units, we're just freezing the filling of the post. However, proceed with your interviews up to that point of issuing a letter of appointment. Once now we resolve that matter, then we'll be able to say do it. So in November, I think it was on the 23rd of November, when I came back, we uplifted the phrase because we said, no, this thing won't be resolved this year with that process. Therefore, offices, proceed again now and fill those positions where we are. But at the same time, we never be above the 6.1%. As the CFO was showing in the report, that we're not underspending on personnel. We are filling the position as we are. That's what we have. Promotion policy in government is clear. You only apply. Us who were there that long time, we were able not to see people based on their age. And over, if you look at this person, you can say, hey, this one is a DDG, but the age must show. So but there was a promotional thing in terms of number of years. Government stopped that. If there is a post, whether I'm 20 years, as long as I've got qualifications, I can apply for a DG post and get it. So it's no longer, there's no promotion in government. Now, you must apply for a post and you must meet the criteria. Chair, on the provincial managers, six are filled. So it's the three which now are not filled. It's the Mpumalanga, it's the Northwest, and Gauteng, because now the person who was in Gauteng has moved now to Limpopo. It was Limpopo before, which was vacant. So we are really working hard on filling now these three positions. Chair, as Home Affairs, we are really not on the consultants, because anyway, we don't have that money. The only consultants which we have are more around the IT, which again I will give at that. But, you know, this thing of private security, we looked at that which is a government nationwide issue, where we're saying why police is not guarding government buildings, but they don't have that capacity. Now, when you appoint one person, we looked at that, we said if you grade a security officer at grade 5, it costs you so much amount. But when you go to the private security, it reduces the cost. So it's the issue of rent and sense. In Home Affairs, Chair, I want to appoint, in fact, yesterday, we were discussing the issue of the IT staff and say, when we're comparing SARS, it's got about 800 staff members around their IT department. But Home Affairs has got 122, including secretaries. But we're moving to the side of modernization. I want to appoint. Then I was saying, after we've looked at this thing, the challenge is going to, we even said, guys, let's have a two-pronged strategy. We must be going to DPSA and say, DPSA, we're going to get IT people at the salary of a chief director. Those business processing people, we won't get them. They will remain in the private sector. So can we get a special dispensation so that now we are able to attract this? At the same time, I said, Chair, we don't have money for personnel. We said we want to go to the Minister of Finance and say there is a contract which now we'll be having this APs. We'll have a new APs now around about November, which now we are paying around about, in fact, this is 190 million rand for that system. But once we do the new one, we're going to pay less. We want to go to Treasury and say, we are here now, we're not requesting money. We're just requesting transferring of that money from goods and services, and you give it to personnel. We're not going to request money. We just go to request and say, can you allow us to move this money from goods and services to personnel? That thing is in the agenda between the two ministers. We might not even get that. When the money now we have, but it's just that it is in the goods and services, it's not on personnel, because the rule says you can't take money from goods and services to personnel. So that is, but in the meeting tomorrow, next week, we'll talk about the strike which we have. So I'm saying now, this thing of private security, I will abolish them by tomorrow, if I can have money. So where I'm, in fact, what we're doing now, we are even now saying, Chair, our offices were putting alarms now in the offices to have alarms connected to the police station, so that in the night, once that office closes, there must be no body there. It must be the alarm, because the situation is dire. So that even the security budget is about 87 million. What now, that 87 million, I can only appoint those people during the day. In the night, they must not be there. But the risk is going a little bit high, because I'm dependent now on that alarm connecting to the police station. Once it rings, then the police must go there. If they didn't go, the damage would have been done. But that's what we have. I think I've reported, Honorable Damos, already about the refugee bill. I've cleared it. Then I was not clear about this question of the findings from this. I don't know whether it's a security agency or is our own counter-corruption, so I was not sure about that question, which was saying, are the findings of the security, I was not sure whether it meant now, because the ones which we do, on those ones of the counter-corruption ones, they recommend on whatever vulnerabilities which we do, we deal with it. Let's come to this thing now. What is the criteria to accredit offices to provide smart cards? We had a criteria which we had was for the office to have an infrastructure which can accommodate this. So when we started, we have offices at 184. Now we're at a saturation point. An office in Aiducho, I think, is the size from there to that corner. But to have that system, you must have a server room, which must keep this thing in a closed room, which is air-conditioned properly. You must have a meter greeter. So that space cannot allow that office, whether you like it, to run a system like that. So now we're at a saturation point that the offices which we have cannot be able to take the system. I'm sure if the offices you talk about, you'll find that is a small office, which is just like a room. So that system cannot be accommodated. That's why now the answer is the mobile solution. But now the mobile vehicles is R1 million on this side. So it means the one, but I'll show now on the slide, there's a slide now of how many we want to have checked by the end of March. And then when we come next week, we'll show you how many we'll be buying. But still, it's not going to cover the 227. It will cover little, and then based on that, we'll be able to say, with the money we have, we'll go to those. And the current mobile offices, which we have, that's why I don't know why the provincial managers could not also explain this thing in every meeting, to say that thing is useless, what they are having now. Nobody wants that green IT book. Schools, kids, they don't want it. So those mobile trucks are the old generation. Now we are revamping the 56 out of those trucks, and then I will be doing the new ones, which now are 16 by end of March, so that now we can have that number. But that mobile offices we have now, we'll be able to produce a smart card and a passport, because the current ones can't. This is the new generation which we have. During the budget speech, we're saying we're going to be coming with that mobile solution, and that people can go and apply a smart card in that thing. But I don't know when the provincial managers now says, hey, this is without explaining, because we're explaining in each and every meeting what we are doing with the mobile offices and why the kids do not want to apply for a smart, that green IT book. They want the smart card. It's R1 million. That's why that thing is R1 million.
Except the computer equipment.
Yes. So to do that, it costs you to do that. So that's why areas like Abo, Alfred Nzo District, Northern Cape, and all of them, they will only be saved once now at the pace which we have. That's why now when we talk about this discontinuation of the IT, we even split it into two, this thing, in a, so that people can understand it. The phase one will be the discontinuation. What it means, we must target the young ones, so that now everyone who is 16 years old must not get a green IT book. Then we have discontinued the issuance of the green IT book. Then the replacement is something else, that now everyone who already have a green IT book must have a smart card. That's why now we're talking on this thing. At the current resources which we have, we're talking about 10 to 15 years. That's what we're talking about. That's why we are dealing with the issue of the banks, which we said at the time when this pilot now have to roll it out, will really be wanting to get the support on this, to say Home Affairs, with the resources we have, with the capacity we have, it will take us 15 years to finish this. But if now we can augment it with these bank processes and all that, then the period will be shorter. But we're talking about discontinuation and by replacement, so one to distinguish that. So that's what again I will be dealing with it. Then strategy which we have, we remember, at people who are 16 years for the first time, that card is even free. We made it free. They don't pay a cent. And then anyone who is 60 years and above, they don't pay a cent. Because we were saying, we wanted to make sure that if we can cover the 16 years and the ones who are 60 and above. Then for now, the people who are paying are the ones who are in the middle until we get something. So that's what is our approach on dealing with this thing. The bill, as we said, will be presented to the minister on the 23rd, but for minister's approval, just for that now. After that, we'll be able to deal with it. And that is, we're going to achieve it. We are sure about it. Then, you know, there was that question which we said vaccinated. I think now Honorable Figlan also responded to that question. What we have here is really people who are volunteering. We're not forcing them. Like the office in, was it Belleville? Or the one which Honorable Figlan, you mentioned it. Went back, yeah. So when they open on Saturdays, it's the staff there which we are trying to motivate and say, whilst we're not resolving this matter, who can really accept to come and work? So they're doing so. So there are various offices throughout the country who are opening on Saturdays at a voluntary basis. They do it. So those are the designated offices. It's not that we're giving them. It's after they've agreed, and then we know now why we can push people into those offices. So it's not at our decision. It's based on the staff when they agreed. So we said mobile units. I think that, where is that slide? There is a target for mobile units for this year. I said we have achieved it. So we'll check it. Honorable Fitlan is there. So inspectorate, the 100 is what we've looked at, the resources, what people we have will be able to achieve that. But we're just saying in the previous quarter, they achieved 49, and then in the following quarter was. But if you take April and what achieved at that point and what they're achieving going forward, we'll be able to achieve what is this with the inspectorate. I think Fireblade have explained now to say it is it was that as for now. And then progress on opening on Saturdays. No, when the is something which we're still looking at it on this matter. We have requested our guys at HR to go and do another research. What we've picked it up now already, we know that within the Department of Health, the staff who are at the OPD, the admin one, will be giving you a file when you bring a patient. They work 24 hours, but they are the admin staff. So we wanted to understand our health is, how is that doing that? What is the, what they have, is it essential service or what? So now we can understand that, but that's what we know. Two municipalities, I've seen at Ekurhuleni, Johannesburg, I don't know about others. They open on Saturdays. And they are also opening longer hours. Now they've got a shift which starts at about 2 and close at about 6 or something like that. So it means there is a person who wants to go and start understanding all those processes. Once we understand it, is something which we're going to go back and deal with this matter. Because in home affairs, we really believe that it should not be only Saturdays. We still believe that Home Affairs should open 7 days per week. But you have a shift system in order to do that, because our services, you can't get them anywhere else except in Home Affairs. Well, that's why I said, mobile units which we are talking about, those things are the ones which we are replacing them, because they're not helping us on anything, because it's the old. We are bringing a new generation of the mobile units, which now the provincial managers should have known about that. Then long queues. You know, Chair, when we're hit by this thing in January, I asked myself a question. Why a garage dealer of Toyota is able not to have this problem? But there are too many people with Toyota cars. But the answer is simple. People make appointments to go to Toyota. They don't one day pitch up with 100 cars. Whereas you know that your technicians are 5. It means in a day, they can service 20 cars. You just say it is a first-time
first come, first serve. They don't work like that. They work on an appointment system. How do they look like? They look like smart. But Home Affairs is different. In Bayron, I know here that the computers which we have to produce a smart card, let's say there are 10, and we've calculated it that one machine per day, calculating the minutes it takes, they produce 28 cards. It means if there are 10, I need 280 people per day to be serviced at Bayron. But because it's on a first come, first serve basis, in another day I get 140. We said, oh, the services at are fine. The next day I get 700. So before the start of everything, mathematically, you can't service these people. You go to them in the queue and say, cut here, you are not coming. What do you get? It's a fight. So what are we doing now? Which we need to go into that level as Home Affairs, which at times it makes us to have this fear of, hey, if we can do it, it won't work. But I believe it's going to work as we go forward. We should have what we call an app, because, Chair, also, I've been explaining this, that the clientele of Home Affairs character is changing year by year. In the 90s, where there are a lot of people who are not educated and all that. But as we move now, they are changing. For instance, now, people who are retiring this year, who are 60, are the people who were born in 1958. Those people, the illiteracy rate is not the same with them. And the people who are having this thing, if you go, I go to my rural area, it's a deep, deep one. But when I'm sitting there in the crawl in December, the people I'm trying to find are those without the cell phone than the ones with the cell phone. So it means now if we improve our processes, people are able to make an appointment, they know I come to this day and all that. Then there are services which we can say, a death certificate, you can come, because it's not something which you knew about it. But a passport and another thing, that's what you have known. Then start now reducing the numbers. Start us now to make sure which offices we must have. But at the moment, with the possibilities, what we do not have. In fact, at Umgeni, we were counting that the areas, I don't know the geographic and of KZN properly, but I know they were mentioning that there you've got Inanda, you've got Kwamashu, but it's the big townships, but are serviced by that one office. It's impossible. It's impossible. So it means now if I had money, I would open an office in Inanda, open an office. Actually, we've got a norm which says Home Affairs offices from DPSA should be 35 kilometers at least, which is still too high, between each other. But what do I have at the moment? 100. It's even more than that. So this issue of the long queues is something which we really want to look at it, and be, but we believe that once now we get into the banks, because banks outlets throughout the country are about 4,000, you know, it's more than that. It's the post office, which has got about 4,000 outlets throughout the country. So it means now if I can go to the post office and open Home Affairs within the post office, then I'll be able now to reach this norm of within 35 kilometers. But based on the resources now I have, because post office, no one I want to buy computers for me, they're not going to want to get stuff from me. No, they can't. They're going to want me to bring those things. What I will get is the building, which I must pay rent for it, and then I must have people. So we are looking at all those. So it's something which really worries us. But as I'm saying, one of the things we're looking at it as a first point now is this thing of the banks to increase that capacity. Once we have done that, we go to the post office.
Vacancy rates, I think, no, the numbers we can bring it, because now it is only percentages. When we come on the 20th, we can bring, for instance, last day I know that the targeted posts were 476 of the priority post. So we can be able to tell you that this 4-6% equal to this, and how many people have resigned. But next week, when we deal with the following year, we'll deal exactly to see how we count the number of posts. Five targets, the page 17. No, there what was saying, this thing, switch it off now. Okay, but what I know what was there was that we have set five targets, but we have achieved about 20 of that. You know, the only issue here is that when we come up with these targets, there is a principle which we want to make sure. That's why I'm saying we were hoping that we want to achieve our 100%, because our principle says the targets must be smart, and they must be funded, and they must be evidence-based. So when a unit, we look at what they're going to do, we must make sure that when that target is in our APP, must be what you know I've got the resources to do. If now we look at their budget, this is what they can do, that's what we agree to it. Because we don't want to put something they will say tomorrow, no, we're not able to achieve because that's what you said we must do, but we don't have that number of people, we don't have. So we make sure that our targets, that's why we now we're at 89, but we wanted to achieve our 100%, because that's what we're budgeted for, is what we have for people to deal with it. Then of disciplinaries, what I've explained, that on the disciplinary cases, one of the issues which had an impact to us is that in that settlement of June, one of the things which was signed there was that the disciplinary cases which were already been in the process must be reversed. So when you reverse that, well, they were sitting in that number, and then you reverse them, then cause that problem. But at the same time, it's something which we want to really pay attention on this unit. There's a committee which we have, which must look, because we want to take serious on this matter. So even next year, that target, when I come in April, is the same target, because we didn't want to reduce it. But what we want to do is to make sure that it is achievable, so that we can be, we know that we're taking serious on it. Then you're having a difficult to understand why are we having a campaign on smart cards. I've said one of the things that for 16-year-olds, it is free of charge, and the 16 and above, and now we're putting this mobile solution. Where is that slide with the mobile? Charge. No, 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 there was a number here only achieved on the mobile. Huh? Yes, that's what I'm trying to do now. Then now on, okay, there was an issue about what is the strategy on this thing of the fingerprints. No, you remember now our ports of entry 72 in total. We have done up to this year 10. And what did we look at it? We look at the big ports. So we've done OR Tambo, KZN Airport, Cape Town, and then we've looked at the six big ports, which is your Bait Bridge, Maseru Bridge, and all that. In the following year, when we come now for the strat plan, we'll be doing the 62 and finish them. So that's what we're doing. So the one, as I've explained, that one is about that one which is integrated, but the rollout, we are doing it. The issue of officials who are not achieving their targets, we deal with them, because remember in the government there's also that process of bonuses and all that. In Home Affairs, we see our figure, we never paid bonuses which are high, because we look at what people have achieved. And then we will follow up on this issue of the Pine Town, more especially if now Mr. Ngoma said he knows about it. It does happen for a variety, there are a variety of reasons. Others is the corruption in the department, which is the collusion between people and the corrupt officials in Home Affairs.
others, people themselves. That's why there's something says there's a corrupt and a corruptee. They participate on those things. We deal with it. But I will follow this one up so that in the next meeting I can give a report when we're here next week on this case. But I hope that we've got the names. If now Sigam can just check with Ngube if Nai already knows about it, so that in the next meeting can leave it to report. Okay. Can you take that? Yeah. Yeah. Then Honorable Raputi, I know us as Home Affairs, I'm not sure that we are making an example, but we don't come into the exam papers as Home Affairs. I'm not sure that we are making an example. Because tonight we don't deal with exam papers at all as Home Affairs. Then now in the issue of vetting, in the reposition, you remember that in the BMA, when we're presenting BMA here, one of the issues which the unions raised was this issue of vetting, to say how do you appoint somebody and say pending your finalization of vetting, and then it takes 5 years, and then after that you come back to me and says, no, your vetting is negative, what must I do? They wanted us to do up front. What has been the proposal now in the repositioning is that Home Affairs must be given an authority to do the vetting up to the issuance. At the moment, we collect and we submit to SSA. But that will be after that process of repositioning has been finalized. I've dealt with the issue of misconduct cases. Marriages of convenience, where people get this. That's why now we changed the law through the parliament. You'll recall when we brought here the amendment on the Citizenship Act, when we say if you are found guilty on that thing, is 15 years in jail. It's already been amended by parliament. You get caught in the issues of marriage, of convenience, you'll be sentenced to 15 years. That the only thing now which we need to check with, is there anybody from then up to now who have been arrested on that issue, something which we need to look at it. So that law has already been passed. And then on the children, even last week, we were meeting with CSIR. They are doing a research of how to take, in fact, they were showing us that now a fingerprint of a 33 months, 2 months old, we can be able now to take that fingerprint, and they use a microscope to make it bigger, and then now we can be able to take into the system. So that's still doing that study. For us now, we're going to give them now to go to one of the hospitals, who identify maybe 10 parents, and we get those kids at 1 day, and then we bring them again when they are 1 month, when they are 3 months, when they are 12, when they're doing their immunization in the clinic, and check whether when you do that, can you still verify that fingerprints? Once that happens, it means now we'll have this gap that we take the fingerprints only when that child is 16 years old. We want this something which we are working on this. Chair, let me leave now to the CFO, but if there are things which now we didn't clarify because of time, then we can come back.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to start with on slide 52. The question was on the accommodation. It was on the provincial and local governments. That is for vehicle licenses. Is the budgeted amount is 1.8 million, so it's the only money we transfer to the provinces and to municipalities is for vehicle licenses. Let me just get to slide 52. That 1.8 million is vehicle licenses. So that was the first question. The second question, Chair, was on slide 53, the next one. And that was the office accommodation check. So, Mrs. Raputi, we're not paying for ministerial staff. We do not have accommodation, designated accommodation for ministerial staff in Cape Town or Pretoria. They stay in hotels. We have not made, there's no provision yet for that kind of accommodation for ministerial staff. The 142% spent there on DHA offices is what we pay to Public Works. This is the over expenditure here is linked to the self-financing spending. We only get the money, we get the money late, but we pay in the meantime, and once we get self-financing, we set off the overspending against this expenditure. So this will be corrected at year end. so over 142%. There's also an accrual in there from 16-17, my apologies. Okay, then on slide 54, there was also a question on immigration services, the low spending on immigration services. There were some savings declared at our BATCOM on immigration services, but some of it comes from here. Some of that money is for the December deployments. Our overtime and S&T travel and subsistence accommodation over the festive season is in excess of 10 million rand, so that comes from that budget. So the expenditure on that line item will increase also significantly, but there were some savings declared there. Chairman, I think I need to deal with your questions. Just give me a second. On the foreign missions, Chair, the first question on the foreign missions, your question was whether that issue is resolved. Chair, the situation is as reported last year. Nothing has changed. The accounting treatment of foreign revenue remains as is. In other words, DIRCA will collect and transfer the money into National Revenue Fund on the agent principal basis. Errors and omissions in those figures will be lying in our books. So we are still trying to resolve that issue with National Treasury as well as DIRCA via the Foreign Services Bill. So that process, Chair, will take some time, but in the meantime, at least the accounting treatment has not changed. And from that perspective, we're comfortable that we should be able to account for it. The feedback we are getting from the audits of the missions, Chair, is that there are still issues about missing labels, the wrong tariffs, the wrong prices used, tariffs used. We are dealing with our counterparts at DIRCO on that issue because we have no direct presence in most missions. We only have a presence. We only have 42 officials placed abroad. That's the issue on foreign missions, Chair. So I'm saying to you, the situation remains as is. Chair, you also asked a question as to whether there is financial discipline in the provinces. I would like to believe that there is financial discipline, Chair. If I look at the spending and the accountability, the decentralized model allows for that oversight of accountability from us at head office. So we report and monitor the expenditure. The feedback we have had from the AG this year so far from the provincial visit, Chair, is that of the 9 provinces, 5 have clean audits, clean audit reports. So the AG will go back again and make sure that this is maintained throughout the period, the total period, because we only looked at 6 months and then 9 months in some instances. So, Chair, I think to answer your question directly, I think the financial discipline is there. The business model allows us or makes provision for the accountability where it should lie, and that is at the lowest possible level. All the provinces now have directors, finance and support. I think the last one started in the Western Cape on the 1st of March this year. So all of them have permanent directors, finance and support. Thank you, Chair.
Can I add on the chair on that on this revenue thing, Chair, I want just to add. Chair, the bill is still dealt with in the IC, the Committee on International Relations. Then in that process, we did put that thing to say DCOMAS now, collect revenue, deposit in the revenue fund, and then report in their books. But remember, that's the only link which is not yet closed. So through that process, they've included that. So we are also hopeful that if that bill can be completed this sitting of Parliament, it's about 2018-19, then it means now by 1920 we might not have that issue further. That's why the issue it is, they're still considering that bill.
Okay. Mugali.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to make a follow-up on two issues that was responded to, the issue of long queues and the issue of foreign missions. But on foreign missions, I think last week when the, what is that thing of Tandi? GPW. We raised an issue to say that there is, we went with the Chief Whist Forum to UK recently, and we found a lot of files piling up in our one of our offices in UK. Then we wanted to get a clarity to the what is Tandy? Printing government works. So Mr. Mavuso responded to say that they are still not using the online system. So I think it's not the issue of that department, which is the Tandy's department. I think it goes back to the issue of the department now. Because in UK alone, they estimated that we have around 500,000 people in UK who are South Africans. So it means that if we don't have that online system, so they're still doing manual, there's a crisis, DG. Maybe in future you must come and present to this committee with what is your plan, because that is the crisis. Their passport, it takes almost 4 months. Mr. Mavuso even said that we charge people here at home 400 rand, but those people to Korea, or even the department to Korea back, that 400 rand, it means that you are giving them service for free. But the point that I'm trying to make that is that we as a department, let us have a plan of assisting our offices abroad. That's one. On the issue of a long queue, Stichy, I'm hearing you about suggested that people must make appointment. It might work with youth, but you still remember that you still have old people. It might not work. It's not even an issue about old people. It's about people who have resources. So therefore, I was saying to Babu Mncube, the new provincial manager, maybe if he can talk to his counterpart here, because when you go here in Cape Town, there's no queue here. So I think it's a matter of learning how other offices are being managed, because it's getting worse. I even said to him, this is very, very, very serious, because you just get been appointed as a new provincial manager. So now there's this outcry. And the issue that you are touching, SDG, about an office in Andagwa Mashu, if you remember very well, I raised that thing. And the minister then, Minister Mkhize, said, no, that thing is on your department's plan. So now we are going back to say that, in fact, there's no money to implement the decision. So it means we are going back to the square one. So my view is that there is a problem in the management system of the Home Affairs, because the outcry is that even if you go and collect your ID, you have to go and stand in that queue of 200 people. And when the official of Home Affairs come to say, okay, I'm cutting a line here, he does not even ask, what are you here for? I'm just collecting my ID. Just to say that, no, here, I'm cutting, go back home. So it's an issue of managing those lines. Those things of making appointment, it might work, it might not work. I hear you on the issue of mobile as well, to say that you have a problem, they are not in a good condition, but I think you can try other options as well. When we are saying that you have to get a place to rent, I think there are municipal halls in all wards. You can also opt for that option to say, let us identify halls, maybe Home Affairs can come once a month to this ward to service people. I think those options can be explored, except to say that let us use the mobile. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. DG. There is somebody's crying about the regulations of the last refugee amendment act we passed, the readiness of those regulations to implement the amendment. Is there anything that's happening on that? You may proceed.
No, thanks. Yeah, so let me start with this online. It's something which we really look at it. You recall that with the immigration, that's why we're saying to post one person abroad, it cost us about 1.2 million rand. That's why now we are doing online so that we adjudicate here at home. Now, you'll recall that, in fact, we're going to be reporting that on next week. You'll recall the issue of networks, which we had with CETA. CETA came here to present. Where we are now, we are really getting, they've got a service provider whom now will be taking over all these networks and be able now to manage the way which we think it will give us right things. And that is going to be connecting with our offices abroad. So that now the same system, because once your networks are right, how I connect from Eastern Cape to Pretoria is no different when you connect from London to here, the networks. So now once we do that, it's going to help us now that we put online in our offices, so that now people are having those, like these mobile offices now, the same technology will put it to the missions abroad, so that we don't have a passport and all that which is on paper, is something which we really want to work on it. Chair, as we said, that a long queue is not one solution, it's not one. We'll be looking at all the available solutions which are there. We're exploring anything to increase the access of Home Affairs, like those offices of municipalities. In fact, we're even saying, even in schools, to say, why can't we have, if a school, when we're talking to Public Works, and say Public Works, here is a high school, is in the area, rural, but is already have a connection. How can you not just build an office there with a simple infrastructure of the blocks, and then we've got the office there, then we can service the community. So we're looking at all those options so that we can increase the access. Chair, on the regulations, we're working on those ones. They're about to be finalized. In fact, I think this week, JKTM and CH were working on those regulations, so we're really working on them. But again, the next meeting can give how far we are.
Yeah, but I think they must just watch out that by the time they finish the regulations, we are not having another new bill. You see, it may not assist us because we already start talking about a bill that the minister is going to sign to go into the system, but we are still struggling with the regulations of the previous bill, and we just need to pull up the socks. Nice, thank you very much. I wanted to get off this particular because we must look at 10,000 sets of minutes.
No, I understand, but I wrote my hand before.
Before who?
Before
I think we need to vote who raised the hand first. Okay, honourable members. Yeah, it's I know it's a transition. Look, you can speak as much as you want to speak to the DG, but remember that next week the DG is coming here and we are going to talk about the strategic plans.
Okay.
Although that today we have asked him a lot of questions relating to the APPs that belongs to next week, we have actually done it and get ourselves out of order deliberately.
Okay.
So is that, just assess what you want to raise. Is it related to what we're going to do moving forward for the next 12 months, or is it something that relates to the two windows we are talking about of the past period, performance in those areas? If you think that it relates to that, speak. Kekana, then followed by the lady of the session.
I want to tell you the breaking news together with the DG on SAFM. I'm not tossing anyone. Breaking news: the Indian government says that Guptas are not Indian citizens, but SA citizens. The statement from the New Delhi comes after SA Home Affairs Department said that Abdul and Rajesh Gupta were South African citizens, but not dead Gupta brother AJ. Those are the breaking news, DG. We are not there. I wanted to break the breaking news to the DG. Chair, the second issue.
I want us to proceed. Yes.
Yeah, the second issue, DG. There is an issue at Kwambonambi. I think you might not have an answer now. There is an unfinished offices that is claimed that was built by Home Affairs and is doing rounds in Twitter as we speak. Please go and check as well.
Yes, if they are going to actually attend to it. Okay. Yes. I think this issue of the tweeters and whatever about who is South African or Indian, let it be in that media, and then we will know the exact records of Home Affairs, our population register. There is only one custodian of our population register for now, and it can't be the Indian whatever. So they're just expressing their views, and then okay, all right. No, thank you very much. I think we just need to thank you, DG, for having spoken to these particular matters together with your delegation, or whether it's called entourage or whatever. We will meet you next week, and then let's speak about the plans of the department moving forward for the next 12 months. And within the resources that the department has, let us actually see that we prioritize all activities that seek to give our people the services that we require. I'm sure this committee is very clear about the constraints of the department. I think we have made attempts to source additional funding for the department. We have been crying about an inspectorate. We have been crying about rolling offices even to rural areas. We have cried about rolling mobile offices to all far-flung villages. And then, of course, we have been crying about the section that deals with litigation. And now it looks like you definitely need a DDG and a full-blown support staff just to deal with complaints or whatever is corruption charges or complaints. Because if you are receiving 400 and something complaints in 3 months, then you almost need another DG to actually concentrate on those to finish them within days, because I'm sure all of us, we know it's a disciplinary matter. It takes long, and if you talk about 400 people in 3 months, and then over a year, and then you're talking about it's 1,000, more than 1,000, 1,200 or so upwards to deal with. You really need a fully blown department or directory to deal with those. And then the litigations as well, we have said a mouthful that it looks like you need to actually increase your capacity to deal with issues of litigation from provinces, from head office, and then from naughty people as well, both around the country. But we are aware that your department is dealing with more than 55 million people on a daily basis, and some of the activities you are doing doesn't require planning. You know, if a person dies today, they pitch up tomorrow, they want a death certificate, and somebody else phones from somewhere else, wants to confirm the nationality of a person, and all those sorts of things, they just happen abruptly, and the rest. And again, is that our people also are choosy. They are choosy. They leave one office and then take taxis and cars and go to another office because of their own understanding. And they go and clog one office while the other office is not clogged. And all those kind of things. And but at the end of the day is that let's service our people as far as the resources that we have allows, and let's try and improve services, let's try and curb corruption as far as is possible, let's exercise maximum financial discipline in whatever we are doing, and I think then we'll make a little bit of progress. But the fight to have more funds for the department will continue, and then we'll continue to do so. Even yourselves, when you get to the budget committees and all that, continue to pursue and continue to make it clear to everybody to understand that we are not talking about a department that is giving a service to 5 million people or 10 million people, like for social development that works only with a maximum of 17 million people. We're dealing with everybody else in the country. Therefore, the financial resources allocated to the department then must speak to that. Thank you very much, and I think you will be, yeah, you are released, and then, but Sigama, we're really worried about our oversight reports, because they talk to you. Yes. So you must act seriously. Yes. Thank you very much. You are released to go and pay people and also collect what is due to you. Yeah. The less you speak to the DG, the sooner you will be out of this door. Yeah. Okay, so. Yes. I don't want to say go out fast. I just want your consciousness to tell you that. You know, if people like to write, then they decided to write just a long, long, long story. And then, but almost on page 5, they have got the period that they have there, which promises a report in June, the 1st of June. They wanted me to sign, so that then they are able now to start rolling out on this particular matter. And then when it takes us to June, then I said, no, it looks like it needs you to say to me, sign it, let them continue and do that. Are we together, Dambuza?
No, Chair, I think first and foremost, I think I need to congratulate your office, because according to my view, we are on the right way now, because that is what the portfolio committee envisaged. So I think I would propose that let's accept the process as it is now unfolding to get to the research unit. But in terms of this report, still, I don't have a problem in terms of the time frames, because it's still under our, I don't think it's too late for June. But what I don't like, I think we need to raise with the senior manager, management of the research unit. It's 0.4. Given the limited staff capacity and time constraints, data collection will not include site visits. That is not acceptable. This is Parliament. This is a special project. And it must be remembered that as this portfolio committee, we did not go far to the extent of the other committees that are doing their inquiry. But we are trying to make sure that everything is being cleared. So I don't think we are requesting too much to have staff to, because more, especially that this project focuses in one province, which is Northwest. If you read on those documents, all those projects, the majority of those projects were done in Northwest. So I don't see that it could be a problem to get funding for staff to do or on-site visits. So that one is not acceptable, Chair.
Okay.
Then the other one, I think the issue of transactions, bank statements, it does not reflect here. So how are they going to source them and so on, because of the expenditure that has been indicated in those documents that we had. So I think there should be a way of getting the evidence of such, because they said there are figures that are pointed out. We appeal an appeal correspondence to the minister. There are figures that are there that they've invited of their investment. And at the same time, I remember in our meeting, in our minutes, there's 25 million of investment that was contributed, that has been contributed by these people. So I think it would be important, because what they've submitted is only these 75 schools and that 8 million and 12,000. Is this 8,000 or 12,000? Whatever. Because the figures are not in front of me. But I think there should be some form of proof in terms of those transactions. Or it might not be coming from the companies, but from them, there should be something that is reflecting. So, and I would also request that we look at this check before you sign it off as members, because it has just come now, so that we can look, also assist to look at the documents that are before us, so that we can make some other recommendations to this document. So I think we can sign it next week, because next week is next week. They can, in fact, you can say, because they are supposed to give us a confirmation of details and employment of stakeholders with the Department of Education. I think they can continue with those that are urgent, but you can sign the document next week once we have looked at it thoroughly as the members, to see that all the information is included that we feel that it must be researched. And then, Chair, I would also request you that you look at the issue of the legal advices, although now I don't have anything in my head, because I'm just taken by surprise to see this document. So I think we must but we're also going to communicate with your office on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Is there any other comment? Figler?
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to echo what the first speaker. And secondly, Chairperson, I see all these dates and I think these people want to do an investigation. Now, according to me, I think it would be proper if we also follow it up, because the list that we were given, you remember we said we phoned some of the people, and secondly, the ID numbers, I think it's 15 or 16 numbers on the ID. You get 11, 13 ID numbers of the teachers who signed them. And then the telephone numbers, when you phone them, you can't get hold of those people. It's incorrect numbers. It's suppose, I think cell phone has got 10 numbers. You get 9 or 8. You can't make a mistake with 5 or 10 people on the same thing. So I don't know, Chairperson, although I can see the work has been done here with by your researcher, but at the same time, we also need to get a clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, the thing is, you don't need to worry about the telephone number that is there that is not reachable or an ID number that is missing. What we are saying is that we have got names of schools. They go to the department, and then they say, "No, do you have these schools?" And then they say, "No, yes." The department knows these schools, where they are. What is your contact details for these schools? Your department, how do you communicate to them? Then they give it to you. Then now they phone those schools. Do you know Mr. So-and-so who's appearing now on that attendance register? Did this person ever work at that school? If that attendance register says Dambuza was the principal who received the donation, now we can't get hold of Dambuza. All what we do is that we know the school, it is Raputi Secondary School. Now you go to Department of Education in Northwest. Do you know Raputi Secondary School? Then they say, yes, we have that school. How do you communicate to that school? What's the communication or telephone numbers and all that? And then you now phone Raputi Secondary School. Do you know Dambuza? Did the person called Dambuza in 2013 work there as a principal? Say yes. Do you have a record of receiving donation, blah, 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 blah? Then now they start getting the information. It's a process. It's not going to be really clinical that much, but it will achieve what you want to know. Because at the end of the day is that you just need to establish the correctness of the information in front of you.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Chair, first of all, I would like to get a clarity, because I remember when Honorable Dambuza raised this issue here,
yeah.
We didn't agree. In fact, you closed the meeting because there was fight. Then you decided to close the meeting. Nevertheless, now we are here. Chair, I just want to get your indulgence.
Why should I not correct you?
No. You can correct me after I've spoken. Because if you want to interrupt me, that's where we're going to fight.
No.
Chair. I'm on the speaker. I'm talking.
Honorable Mkhali.
No, Chair. No. I'm speaking. Give me a chance.
Honorable Mkhali.
Give me a chance to speak. When I finish, you can correct me.
No,
Chair. No. Unless if you don't want me to speak.
But why should we do this, Mina, now?
Yes, because you always want to interrupt me when I'm speaking. Chair, who said you have a monopoly of speaking here? Because
no.
Me and you, we are equal.
No.
I'm a member like yourself. So where do you get those powers? If a person, a member of this committee, is speaking, then you have a monopoly to disturb that person.
Honorable Mkhali.
Because we are the chair of this committee. You must allow members to speak, and then if you want to come back as the chair, you can come back.
Honorable Mkhali, it doesn't really take us that much far of displaying arrogance or underbite.
You must tell that to yourself. You must tell to yourself,
no.
Because we are the one who are very arrogant.
No, but...
Even if we try to accommodate you as members, you always want to be arrogant, Chair. So why do you do that?
No, Honorable Mkhali.
Which role are you using to disrupt members while they are speaking?
Honorable Mkhali.
Just give me the rule.
Honorable
because Mkhali. We don't have powers.
Honorable Mkhali.
We are members of this committee, elected like yourself. We are not doing us a favor to be here.
Honorable Mkhali. No, I see your hands, honorable members. You see, it's, you see, when you raise your hand, I take, then I note you to speak. Then you start and making an assertion that is not correct.
And then what makes you to wait and finish?
Why
don't you wait until I finish speaking, then you correct me? So where do you get powers to disrupt me when I'm speaking?
Honorable Figland.
Thank you very much.
I'm still on the platform, Chair.
Yeah. No,
I just want to...
No, but you cannot a member while I'm on the speaker.
No, you raise your hand while you are speaking. That means he's...
So I'm out of order.
No. I just want to correct something. Chairperson, I think we're wasting a lot of time because the only thing that you have to do is to listen and then you can correct it after she's spoken. Can you give her a chance to speak and then you can talk on that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Now, honorable members, you can't chair from that side.
You see now.
Okay.
So,
chair,
I'm speaking, you stop me, no. You allow honorable Figland, he's telling you the same thing, so
can
now...
Can you give me an opportunity to address?
No. Give me the opportunity to finish what I want to say.
No.
Then you can address me after that.
No.
Now I said no.
Honorable members, you see, when a member starts by a particular preamble, then the possibility, the likelihood is that is not just simply being raised for nothing. We're going to base the follow-up discussion on the same thing.
The problem
now
with you, your problem is that you want us to speak the way you want it. We are not going to speak the way you want us to speak. So that's why it's very important for you just to be the chair, just be above. Don't get to pettiness because you want to control everyone. I'm saying I want to make my point because I'm a member of the committee, and then when you want to stop me to say you want to correct me, I'm saying to you, if you know how to chair meeting, just allow me to speak. When I finish, you come with your own vision. So what is so difficult? You never even chair a meeting of a branch.
Honorable Mkhali, if you raise an assertion that is wrong,
it's wrong to you.
Correct it.
It's not wrong, it's wrong to you.
This suggestion that...
Well, now you want to impose your own things in this committee, that is your own problem.
No.
You forget that you are not invited by you here.
No.
We are members here. We have a full responsibility to speak about any issue here.
No. You can't be arrogant as much as you want. But the fact of the matter is that when you actually associate this committee with a version that is wrong, I do have a right as a chair here to correct you, to say that is not correct, it's not what has happened. The suggestion that Honorable Dambuza raised, it was supported by the majority of committee members.
You don't want to give me a chance, I'm going to speak while you are speaking. Honorable Dambuza suggested this idea, and then we said to you, myself and Hussein, we said to you, let's do the investigation. It was a fight. We wanted even to subject this suggestion to a voting. And then after that, you go and took your own decision and impose this decision as if it's a committee decision. So while I was there, trying to clarify the status, you want to stop me and impose your own decision.
Can you allow the Khalifa to speak?
No, but if Honorable Mkhalifi decides to be arrogant, there is nothing.
But where is arrogance? Where is arrogance? Because I'm saying, and two members are saying, give me a chance. I have not even spoken.
No,
you just want to stop me. I'm saying to you, you have all right to speak after me as the chair.
Honorable.
So what is so difficult? You, chair, you must conduct yourself as the chairperson. You must not conduct yourself as a king. Because you are not a king.
So I even said to you last time, go and watch parliamentary processes.
It will never be the same.
Yeah, go and watch and chair how other chairs are chairing committees.
No, but...
Because we are failing this committee because of your arrogance.
No,
so
it's fine.
Even now, when the DG was here, when you think there's a monopoly on the DG is preventing, and then you want to stop the DG, but if any members are doing that, you want to stop us. You must refrain from those things. And you want to respect you, but as much as you like to respect yourself.
I still want to indicate to yourselves that the assertion raised is wrong because the proposal that has been raised by Dambuza, it was raised almost three times, people did not understand or they were not even listening carefully.
And
then that proposal was supported by the majority of members. And then the Honorable Mukhalif and Hussein, and then they wanted the minister to come. They did not oppose the one of verification. That's why we proceeded with it.
Can I proceed, Chair?
Now you can proceed.
Chair,
yes.
I'm saying, let me repeat, and then please don't stop me because we're going to fight, right? I'm saying the issue, Mam Dambuza raised this issue that day. And myself and the DA, we said, Hussein even said that day, he has been a member of parliament for quite some time. He has never heard about such things that is proposed by Mam Dambuza. And then we fought, and then he wanted us to vote. And we ask you, what to vote? What are you subjecting us to vote for? Nevertheless, because you had to go and change the decision of the committee and impose this, which is not a committee decision, it's fine. Now I want to engage you and the committee to say, if you are going to treat this issue of Guptas in a piecemeal, how are we going to achieve our own goal? Now, there's an issue about the Guptas having six passports, so are we going to come back to say, the very same people that you are proposing to go and do the research, they must go and investigate about those six passports? There's an issue that these Guptas are also voting. So are we going to come to say these people, they must go investigate that thing? So I'm saying this thing needs to be investigated in fully, not in a piecemeal. That is the only thing that can be done. And you, Chair, you want to block this thing to happen. Even this submission of Ms. Dambuza, you don't want it because you want to block this thing. And you don't even see the bigger picture of what damage is causing to our country. So what is so difficult for the committee to say, we have powers as this committee to say let us establish an inquiry on this thing in holistically instead of piecemeal, because we want to know the truth, what is happening in a nutshell. That is my view, Chair.
I understand your point.
That we requested from the department, and the department brought to us on the basis of our request. This is the document that is in front of us that seeks to actually implement that. And Honorable Dambuza has made comments on it. I would have loved to hear whether there is this document is looks like it will achieve what we want given the time frames, and then so that we can I can have a signature of it so that it can kickstart the activities that seeks to verify that information. Any other thing will be raised as when times arise for those specific discussions. Honorable Figland, Honorable Makenye, Honorable Rapudi.
But you're speaking to me.
I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the committee.
I think there was a request from Umamo Dambuza that we only receive this document now.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't rush to sign this thing until we rectify it next week. So that was the proposal. So I want to support that.
Fine. Nothing.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll also share the same sentiment with my colleagues, noting that also there are these completion dates which are written here, which they don't say they are tentative dates. Because when you look on page 5, and when you look on page 6, on the last 7, that talks to untimely impacting on the final report completion date. Now, it is contrary to those days, because those days, to me, there's nothing that talks to that those days are tentative. But at the same time, at the end, now, there's this doubting Thomas of this process will commence only in April and complete in 24th of April. And also talking about a draft also on that page 5, which also makes it, to me, really, I don't think there's a need for you to sign now. There are those gray areas. If these days there's going to be an impact on these days, why therefore can you sign now? I don't think you're ready for being signed. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mirabut.
Yeah, Chair, I was just saying that because we have received this project framework research on reports submitted to the portfolio on Home Affairs granting early neutralization of the Gupta family. Really, we need to interrogate to this report for the chair to sign. However, you even wrote some limitation. I think those are limitations in any research which is really accepted. But the making it to sign it at this time, can Chair give us time to interrogate the letter? I thank you. This report. But when looking at it somewhere, somehow, those are the issues that were proposed. And I really appreciate that you even wrote some limitations. Things that were not said here, we are not going to accommodate them. I think really it's fair enough to speak to the recommendations that were set last week in this committee. I thank you.
Okay. Honorable Dambuza, then followed by Khalid.
So I think I need to respond to what we have raised, which is this process that we have agreed upon as the committee. I would like to confirm that we agreed upon. Why? The reason why we came to this. First of all, we requested the documents from the department, the proof, in fact, or the evidence of the projects that were claimed by the Gupta family that they have done through the presentation that was presented by the department before this portfolio committee. Now the documents were brought before the portfolio committee, and the portfolio committee was given an opportunity to look at those documents and comment. And comments were made in our last meeting. One of the critical comments amongst them all was that those documents, the authenticity of validity of those documents was questionable. It's one of the critical comments. And some of them, although they tried to explain, but at the back of my mind, I was not satisfied by their explanation. So that is why we said, okay, if we continue engaging with the department, we are not going to get anywhere, Chairperson. So let's stop the process now of engaging with the department.
to say bring this, bring that, bring that. Let's engage on the parliamentary process. And it is there. I didn't want to argue with Honorable Hussein. I have been a member of parliament, even myself, for more than 10 years. And I have been chairing the meetings. I have been a whip. So whatever the committee has got the full right in terms of its oversight to commission a research or, yes, and do a research using its parliamentary research unit, not the ones that are sitting before us. There's a team of a cluster that is led by a senior researcher who is going to look now on this information to verify everything. He's going to give them tasks, all the cluster researchers, to do the work. Then now, to check, to verify the information that we have in front of us. Once we get that information now, we will be able to say, can we proceed with an inquiry? Or we are satisfied, because we were not satisfied with the information that was brought before us by Gupta's. Now our parliament institutional arrangement is saying now, these are the information. And then we'll also make some recommendations. And then we consult now after getting this research with the legal unit, which route can we take? Now, we are on that process now. And if you remember, Chairperson, maybe because we did not talk about it in our last meeting. In our first meetings, we said, hence there's this letter from Honorable Frolic. Now, if there are other areas, I think this one has to record it. If there are other areas that are related or are linked to our portfolio in terms of state capture, we must be privileged to get that information so that we deal with it in a portfolio committee level, and then we'll see how we take it, that information, forward. But unfortunately, we haven't received any information that relates to other. Now we are focusing on one area. So if there are emails, because it was referred to the emails, if there are emails, those emails must be brought before the portfolio committee so that we handle those issues. If there are, as long those that information is valid. So for now we have got this one. So that is why I'm responding to the issue of Honorable Khalid to say there's issue of Gupta's voting. Yes, let's look at the, I don't want to discuss that. Let's get that information if they are voting and if they don't have the voting rights. So that is something that we can discuss. It's not that it's being thrown away. It must be brought with, this is our committee, guys. Let's discuss these matters. But Chairperson, I want to confirm that we are on the right track now. That is why I was requesting that let's add some more flesh on this document, because that's why I was congratulating you for this, but we need to add more flesh, Chair.
Chair? Can I speak?
You can speak.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I fully agree with what Honorable Dambuza is saying. Where I disagree, because me and Honorable Dambuza and all other honorable members of this committee, we want to get into the bottom of this thing. So where we differ with Honorable Dambuza is to say, now if the committee is saying the research team or the research unit or the legal team of parliament must investigate this, does they have a capacity now?
of dealing with everything that is associated with the Guptas.
Chair,
where we differ with Honorable Damuso, we don't differ to say this, those documents must be refreshed, must be checked if they are authentic. But where we differ with her suggestion is to say the research unit. We are saying there is a lot of things that needs to be investigated. The committee have powers to investigate, like other committees as they are doing. I'm making an example, Honorable Damuso, to say, if we are going to treat this thing in a piecemeal, today we are dealing with documents that were submitted. There's another issue of 6 passports. So are we going to come back to say, research units must go? Why don't we just combine all the things, as we are saying, Honorable Damuso, to say, everything that involves state capture in portfolio committee of home affairs must be investigated, instead of saying the research unit or the legal team. That is where we differ, Chair. Because I believe that if we treat this matter holistically, to say a committee has taken a decision, even the committee does not have a capacity, but when we tell the chair Frolic to say we don't have a capacity, they do provide the capacity to say the committee now is investigating the state capture that involves home affairs. Honorable Damuso is saying there are a lot of things, but yes, how are we going to treat this thing if we are going to say research unit must go and deal with this thing? That's where we differ. Research unit must not investigate. The committee must take a decision to say, right, as home affairs, we have taken a decision because we are empowered to do so, to investigate the state capture in totality. That's all, Chair.
But why are we torturing ourselves? Why are we torturing ourselves unnecessarily and irrelevantly as well? Because honourable members, I sit in front of you all the time in this committee meeting, and when we discuss things and agree on things, I know these things that they sit in my mind. I know, and sometimes I get surprised that yourselves, you speak in the meeting, but when you get to another meeting, we speak as if no, you have never spoken on this particular matter. I'm tired. And then we end up torturing ourselves endlessly. At the moment, what is just in front of us is because we have unanimously agreed to verify information received from the department. No investigation. We're not talking about investigation. Verifying the information that we have. Simple. And now I'm saying is, this is a document that seeks to start that process of verification. Are you happy? And I say to you, the rest of the writings that are here, it is because these people that have prepared the document, they are researchers. They are people that like to write. But for you, now, look at that particular page at the back, which is on page 5. That talks to the activities that they are talking about and the dates on which they will have results for us. That's what I'm saying. Are you happy about that? That on the 1st, then that's what's going to happen. I'm not talking about the investigation of state capture and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an activity of verifying information we received from the department, which we are saying we are not happy, we are suspecting it. That's all. And so now that will require, of course, that when we convene a meeting that talks to this particular matter, we will talk all those other things. But now let us not get lost. And then generally up to now, Kegan, unless if you are going to have a different view, is that you are saying you want time with this document. Then we will then organize another meeting in another few days from now, go and look at this document, try and improve it where you want to improve it, and then indicate to ourselves to improve the document so that we get this document out so that those people are able to do what we have requested them to do. Yes.
Thank you very much. Let me start by saying that yes, it's true that we have agreed that we will verify this good things. But I wanted to highlight something. Of course, it will need us as a committee to take it very serious. After I saw the minister speaking to this issue, I was in a bit painfully so. Can you leave me to talk and finish so that you'll be able to talk?
No,
No, leave me to talk. Then I will. You will talk after me. You are a chair. You are not an interpreter, or you are not a prosecutor. So please continue with chairing. Listen to me. I will finish. Then you will talk. No matter. I'm talking nonsense. But listen to me, please. It's only me who is allowed to do that in my role as a chief.
Honorable Gagan.
So can I continue?
Yes.
So this thing started to give, I want us to open this matter and talk about investigation than verification. Because you can see that every day there will be something that is coming out of Gupta's. Now we are verifying this sponsorship that made them to get citizenship. But later you'll find that these people are still having many passports. And then there are still many leaks. And remember that when Comrade Frolic writes this to Home Affairs, he was saying investigate the emails. He was not saying verify. He was saying investigate the emails. So otherwise, we will have to go back and do this, because I saw that this matter is of national interest. Everyone wanted to know what is happening about this Gupta's. And my question to you, Chair, is one, why it seems as you are always defending this? Because starting from last year, June, when we were talking about this thing, you were always making sure that this matter is being shielded, protected, everything. I remember when even we were going somewhere, you appealed to us to hurry slow. We hurried slow from June last year until today. Comrade Chair, just be honest to us and be honest to the whole committee, so that and investigate these people. If you don't have interest, then investigate this, or otherwise you leave us with no option to write as members of this committee to Flory, back to Flory, and complain about your behavior here, because of it seems as you are part of Gupta, and you must stop that. That's why I was quiet. I'm sick. I came here because this matter is the matter of seriousness and national interest, and you help the opposition to sink the ANC. We are here to fight corruption, Chair. And please, if we cannot go there, I will write my unpleasant to whoever has authority over you. Please, I will do that, and I wanted you to know that as from today, because we have been told to fight corruption, and this is part of the corruption that we must fight. But why are you always shielding, trying to protect? You see, if I was the chairperson, I will say, members, if you all agree about this thing, then let's change the direction. Or what are you saying? Not to give the members reason. It's if you are a lawyer for Gupta here. Chair. No. I thank you.
Honorable Gagano, you see, the unfortunate thing is that last week we were not in the meeting. And you are taking us far back.
But I know about what
you're yes, no, no, no. You know, you are not in the meeting. You are not in the meeting.
Because
but I will do 30 kuluma,
Kaka. Okay, I'm sorry.
30 kuluma,
I'm sorry, Chair.
Yes. I say to you now, I say, why are you torturing yourself unnecessarily? Because at the moment, we are speaking about a document that seeks to implement the decision that you have taken. And then I'm saying to you, if you want to speak about everything else of the Guptas, then we organize a meeting for that. But at the moment, I want you to deal with this one that seeks to implement the decision. What is the problem there? What is the disaster?
Let us stop this decision because I can see that many people can be corrupt. Even those yes. who are such as I'm no longer even interested in them. So I started
to
have my own
on those but you can't deal with things in that way.
And
okay, honorable members, honorable Degan. Honorable Degan.
Order.
We are not going to deal with
order, Chair.
We are not going to deal with
Chair.
The committee. I'm not
mentioning yeah, please not mention.
Yes. We are not going to deal with matters of the committee in that fashion. You're good to know, Jay, when people take decisions and then when you implement the decisions, then somebody just haphazardly and just turn everything else without making any proposal that is actually supported by anybody. No, but what I'm trying to say is that a decision has been taken in the committee and the decision has not yet reversed. And the decision then we seek to implement our own decision. There is nothing that stops you from raising any other particular matter at any other time.
I did now.
We are what?
Chair, we are wasting our time.
So it's Honorable Figland.
Thank you very much.
But this document, I think majority of you said, no, you need time. It's fine.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to say, firstly, Chairperson, my sugar is very low. I'm very hungry where I'm sitting.
Yes.
The second thing is, Chairperson, I think this question will keep on coming up because according to Prolik, he said the portfolio committee is granted to investigate. Now, I can agree with this letter because I was not there in the committee last week. I think I left early.
Which letter is that one?
No, this background report. Now, if you read the first paragraph on top about the background,
yeah.
It tells exactly what we're supposed to be doing as the committee. Now, secondly, Chairperson, the other committee has already taken this issue up. It seems as if we divert this thing to take very long. I will agree with the complaints. Now, I think for us to go forward, since we say this, we must discuss it next week. And then we can come up with a solution.
Okay.
That is what I propose. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, I think...
You said you are noting me, Chair.
It looks like we needed to actually pass
Chair.
Minutes, and then we're not going to be able to deal with minutes.
Chair.
Okay. Yes, madam.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we are saying let us investigate everything as a portfolio committee that includes state capture. This delaying tactics is not going to help us to refer the document verification. We are not verifying, we have to investigate. It's a long overdue. Look at the letter that was written by Honorable Frolik, 15 June 2017. Refer to Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs, a request to investigate allegation of state capture. So if you are going to treat this thing... Can I talk? Without you telling me what to say? Because I'm so bang on
no
chair. You must protect me.
Honorable Mkhalif, we can't behave in that particular fashion.
No, but you must protect me, Chair.
We can't behave in that particular fashion.
Chair.
I will show you to know where now. If you have got that level of arrogance because everybody else is stupid, then you can just do as you please.
But okay, who said, I said people are stupid?
Don't do that.
Suga. Please, don't put it on my mouth.
Honorable members. Honorable
yeah, Chair, I'm saying I'm supporting the proposal from it Honorable. I'm proposing. The last time we did this.
We would organize the meeting.
We want an investigation. And you are going to report your behavior to the Speaker. When you think you are back to all of us. It's adjourned. We did the very same thing last time. We adjourned like this. Then you went and imposed your own decision. We are here. We are coming next week.